Hello, we are Terra Nova, a horror podcast. We're hosted by Kendall and Jackie. And here we talk about everything, well, horror. And this podcast is specifically for you, the horror fans, and also the non-horror fans. If you're too scared to watch the movies, it's fine. We talk about it, we discuss it, we dissect it, we laugh about it, talk about the good, the bad, the tropes, and new episodes are launched every Monday.
And follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Terra Nova Pod. And leave a review, 5 stars, of course, on what platforms that you listen. And last but not least, tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a friend.
And tell your dog, too. Cujo. Hello!
Hello!
I'm, like, very excited for this.
How excited?
I'm very cheesy right now. Like, I have a huge-ass smile. I feel like if I could do it, it would be like the Joker smile, like from ear to ear. That's how happy I am right now. I mean, I don't sound it because I always sound like I'm dead, but I'm actually I'm very happy.
On a scale of like 1 to 10, like how excited are you?
10.
Oh, yeah.
See, I don't sound it, but I am.
Oh, I know.
It's just the way my voice is.
I know. This is one of the films you've been talking about for a long time. So, I know you hype.
But quick side note about my voice. Because my best friend, like, me and her sound the same on the phone. And people always confuse us when we're talking on the phone. And she had told me, she was like, if I put my voice really low like yours, I could sound like you. And it kind of goes back to, like, growing up, because people used to call me Daria.
That's hilarious.
Like, from, like, middle school, junior high school, even high school, they're like, you're just like Daria, because the way I sound, the way I act is just like Daria. So, yeah.
Well, Daria was cool, so.
But again, I'm very happy. Yeah, she was. I love that show. But yeah, so, again, I'm very excited. I just sound very dead inside, but I am not.
Oh, I know. You ain't got to tell me. I know. This is the one movie where you were just like, all right, so we going to do this? When can we do this? Like, we need to do this. We need to put in a calendar. We need to put in a schedule. Like, when can we do this? Like, I was like, all right, we going to do it. She's like, all right, we just need to do it. And I'm like, okay, I get it. It's coming.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm also excited because it's 2 for 2. Like, you know, I'm going to be doing 2 films that I love. Like, because last week it was your turn.
Yep.
We did The Witch. We did,
no, The Witches.
You know, the Monster Squad. Yeah, The Witches. You know, a movie about fuck them kids. And this time around, we're gonna be doing 2 films that I love. It's also a really fucked up story. You know, this. And then the following week, we're gonna do The Fly. But this time, it's The Bride of Frankenstein, 1935. And oh my fucking God.
Yeah, this movie is older than both of us combined.
Yes. Yes, but I love me so much. Sorry. Whew. I contained myself. Sorry. Anyway.
Might as well hop right in. You might as well get into a summary so you could fangirl all over it.
Thank you. So Bride of Frankenstein, 1935, directed by James Whale. It stars Boris Karloff. He was the first Frankenstein prior to this, and Elsa Lanchester plays the bride in the film. This movie is very, like, wow. But yeah, so basically, Bride of Frankenstein takes place literally hours after the events of the first. For those who may not be familiar with the first one, you know, Dr. Frankenstein, he creates life, he creates creation, and he regrets it. You know, Frankenstein monsters, you know, basically rampant, starts killing things, but he doesn't know what the hell he's doing because he's like a newborn baby in a giant body. The town folks are upset. They try to, you know, kill Dr. Frankenstein, kill the creature, but then the creature basically rolls Dr. Frankenstein amongst the crowd, and then his little laboratory that he was in gets engulfed in flames, and then the whole basically town is just like, oh, thank God he's dead. So yeah, they stink. Couple hours, like I said, the movie takes place. You find out that the creature is still very much alive. Dr. Frankenstein is gather with his fiance that he's planning on getting married to. He wants to spend his rest of life with him, and he's just like, you know what, I'm done being a crazy mad scientist. I just want to be a normal man. So he thinks.
So he thinks.
Yes. but enters this new doctor named Septimus Fortiros. Very unique name. He comes in. He was just like, hey, remember when you made life and it caused havoc? You want to do it again just to see? But this time, let's make it a woman. And of course, he's just like, what? Nah, I'm done with it. I don't want to do it. But then he starts showing this new doctor, Pretorius, starts showing him all these experiments he did, where he made like the miniature little versions of human life.
Word.
And it kind of entices Dr. Frankenstein to be like, you know what? My God, you're mad, but you're onto something. Let's do it. So he decides, yeah, why the hell not? Let's create life again. And while this is happening, the sidelines, the creature, he's alive. He's out and about, basically trying to learn about humanity his own way. It's not very pleasant because the whole town sees him as a monster and just wants to kill him. And then he comes across this blind hermit that, you know, plays music, and he befriends the creature without knowing who or what he really is, and he begins to teach him how to talk, him, you know, foods, objects, and whatnot, and also teaches him, you know, about friendship in a sense. But of course, that gets ruined by people who are just like, oh my God, it's Frankenstein's monsters, we gotta kill him. Ah, and that whole scene was just so sad. But yes, and then we're back to, you know, Victor Frankenstein and this new doctor Pretorius, and they're in the working of like creating new life, and basically a female, a woman. And there are times where Dr. Frankenstein is kind of like going back and forth about it, like, should I do this, should I not do this? Even his wife is just like, boy, you better fucking stop, we're getting married, you say you're gonna stop with the shenanigans.
Can't stop.
And you know, again, yeah, and again, he keeps going back and forth, back and forth. When he still starts questioning it a little bit, again, Pretorius is like trying to lure him in, like, think about it, think what this could do, think about this. And a turning point, Dr. Pretorius ends up meeting the creature. You know, the creature's running away. He ends up going into this catacombs where I believe once where Dr. Frankenstein had his laboratory, part of it or whatever, where they found bodies. Because they're grave robbers. You know, they basically take body parts, and that's how he was able to build Frankenstein. He meets Dr. Pretorius, and he tells Creature, like, oh yeah, we're making life. And of course, at first, the creature is just like, no, living bad, dead good. Because he's been through so much shit. He's just like, bro, leave us alone. Let us be dead. And he was just like, no, I'm making friends for you. A female friend. And he's just like, friend? And of course, that kind of gets, you know, the creature being all like, oh shit, okay, I'm down for this. When Dr. Frankenstein meets his fiance at the house, he's like telling him, like, I don't like you doing this. You promised me you will stop. You promised me that we'll have a new life, a new everything. And then that's when he was just like, okay, you're right. I'm going to let it go. I'm not going to, like, humor this man anymore. He told the chamber lady, like, tell him away with him. I don't care about him. But then he ends up sneaking around. Or how the hell he sneaked around and got into, like, the back room. Like, behind the window. And was just like, hello, doctor. And he was just like, oh, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm done making life. I learned my lesson. And then he brings the creature. And the creature is just like, no, you make life. You make friends.
Yep.
And again, he's still like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And then, boom, the creature goes and kidnaps Dr. Frankenstein's wife, and that is what it gets Dr. Frankenstein to help Dr. Pretorius make the Bride of Frankenstein. And again, the whole time, they're still like, he doesn't want to do it, but then he starts teaching him, like, how to actually make human life. In doing so, you need a good heart, a working brain, which they do end up finding in a very non-traditional way. one of the henchmen basically kills a woman and takes her heart, very Snow White lick, like gives him a beating.
I thought they were gonna kill his wife actually for a second.
As me too, I thought so too. And in doing so, you know, they do the whole process, you know, does this, you know, you hear the heart pumping, you hear the music going, everything. The creature is being all like, I want to see my friend. Like, oh, throwing people around and throwing people out the way. Like, woo, bitch, I want to see my girl. And then, boom, he comes alive. You hear Dr. Frankenstein, who's iconic, is alive. And, you know, Dr. Pretorius introduces her as the Bride of Frankenstein here. And of course the creature is just like, friend. but then, you know, the bride itself, she's kind of like freaked the fuck out. She's like, what the fuck is going on? Where the hell am I? Who is this guy? What the fuck? Get away from me. So I screaming at everybody.
Yeah.
In the most heartbreaking way, the creature is just like, love me. She doesn't want me. I don't want this anymore. Like, be gone. And trying to reunite with his fiance, Dr. Frankenstein is trying to leave. The creature basically shows a glimpse of humanity that he has learned and says, go, 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 go live, whatever. And then basically decides to blow up the laboratory with Dr. Pretorius and the bride with him and basically says, like, we belong dead.
Yeah.
And explosions happen and very sad ending. It's a very sad movie.
Yeah, it really is. I didn't know what kind of film I was walking into because I've never seen this before. But it's definitely it's something. It's not what I expected at all from a film. I guess we're getting into first impressions now. But
yes, for you, because this is your first time watching. First of all, have you ever seen the original Frankenstein?
I don't think
film?
So. I might have, but I don't think so. I don't think I have. Yeah, I'm going to just say I haven't.
I mean, the one thing I would say, I appreciate about this film, and if anyone who's listening who's never seen The Bride of Frankenstein, you don't necessarily have to watch Frankenstein. I mean, if you want to, sure. But in the beginning of Bride, they do kind of summarize the events of the first one that leads up to where we are now. That's the one thing I appreciate of Bride, because not many movies do that, especially the sequel. You're just like, well, how the fuck did we get here? So, yeah, for those who are hearing this, like, you don't necessarily have to see Frankenstein, but if you want to just understand the mindset that happened, then go ahead. But, yeah, I want to hear your thoughts, man. Like, I'm so excited.
Yeah, this movie has a lot of heart, and I guess I really appreciate that. It's not a traditional horror film in the sense that, like, you know, things happening, you know, like, holy shit, that was terrifying. Like, a few things surprised me. That I would say for sure. Like, since I haven't seen the original, I wasn't sure what kind of Frankenstein I was going to get. So, you know, we literally just did the Monster Squad, right? And we were talking about how, like, kind of nice that Frankenstein was compared to, like, the older Frankensteins, or, like, how he was originally written in like, the novels and stuff like that. So, like, I've never really seen that version of Frankenstein before. So I did kind of get a laugh and a bit of a surprise at the beginning when, like, they were basically in the middle of killing him as, like, a continuation of the first one. When they were in the middle of trying to kill the Frankenstein kill a monster, and they didn't, and then, like, the guy got mad, like, one of the guy who lost his daughter in the first film because of Frankenstein, I mean, because of the creature, the guy who lost his daughter, he's like, I need to see the monster dead and, like, burnt and on fire and like, burning and suffering. So he goes down there to see the creature, and the creature's not dead, and then the creature just grabbed him and just, like, basically threw him in the water and drowned him. I was like, oh shit, I didn't see that coming. Like, out the gate, like, holy fuck, didn't expect that. And then when the lady went down after her husband, and then Frankenstein, like, fucking yeeted this lady down a flight of steps, just, like, straight up tossed her, and she went, like, barreling down mad steps into the water, and she was dead too. I was like, well, okay, didn't see that coming. Didn't know that was what we was getting into. I didn't know we were getting that Frankenstein. All right, that was definitely something I had no idea of. And it was, like, pretty much the same feeling as you had when you saw Frankenstein and Monster Squad, where you were like, was he going to kill this little girl? And it was the flip for me. I was like, oh, he's going to probably, like, he's probably not angry. And he just started killing people. And I was like, oh, he's angry. So it was definitely that feeling. So that was really interesting. Another thing that was really interesting to me about the movie at the beginning, before they get into, like, technically the actual story of the film, you realize that the story is being told from this woman who basically is like a writer. She wrote the. I guess they took this inspiration based on the fact that the Frankenstein is from a novel. I'm guessing that's where they took the inspiration for this idea from. So it's like this woman who like clearly is living like a, you could say, somewhere like privileged or wealthy lifestyle. Her and like these two other guys who both seem to be like of high positions.
Mary Shelley.
Huh? Mary Shelley.
She's Mary Shelley. Mary Shelley's when I wrote Frankenstein.
Yes.
So the actress who's portraying Mary Shelley is basically continuing the story. So she plays Mary Shelley, which I thought was dope.
That was really interesting. Cause I didn't know that going into it. Because you know, I try not to do research about films before I watch them. I don't want to go in surprise. I feel like that's why I end up having more fair criticisms of films versus just like what I expected a film to be, and then screaming about how it should have been what I thought it was going to be. But the lady was playing Mary Shelley, who was like the actual author who wrote Frankenstein, wrote the novel by Frankenstein. So like that, I didn't expect that the way. I thought they would just kind of jump into it. So that was really interesting that she was talking to them about it. And it was interesting for a few reasons, in my opinion. It was interesting in part because, you know, so even in 2021, right, I'm so used to stories being told from men. Like, you know, most of the best-selling novels and stuff like that, a lot of the times are like from men, or just best-selling stories or stories that are most celebrated tend to be from men. So like for that reason, I was kind of surprised that in 1935, despite the story, of course, actually being written by a woman, that the film was like, no, we're going to let this woman play the role of the person who actually wrote the novel and then talk about it a little bit. And she's talking to these two guys and they're both just like, wow, it's really impressive that she could write such a book. And then the guy's also like, well, it's not just impressive that she wrote it. It's kind of amazing that someone who looks like so innocent and kind of like so nice can write such like a monstrous story. And it was like they were just like kind of praising her ability to do something that they almost feel like they couldn't do. You know, it's almost like a wolf in sheep's clothing. Like, you just don't expect something to come out of somebody. So I thought that was really interesting. That kind of immediately caught my attention. I was like, oh, that's really cool. Like, she's kind of being celebrated for being able to write this. And, like, the books haven't, from my understanding at the time, the books haven't been actually, like, quote-unquote released in their world yet. It's just more so them talking about it because she told them this story firsthand. And they're like, holy shit, she kind of needs to sell this. But, like, they're not sure. I know this is only literally like a 5-minute scene, but it was just really interesting for even being such a short scene, because like it's amazing. It's a lot to digest here. It's like really cool that you realize that this woman is telling them this story. And like I said, I have not seen the original, so like even in the sequel to go, oh shit, like that's pretty dope. And she gives them like a short recap about everything that happened in the first film, which is really great since I haven't seen the first one. And it's not too far off from what we all know about Frankenstein, but it's still good to get that short little recap. And it's fun, kind of fun to hear the characters around her are like, hey, I kind of want to hear more. Unfortunately, these characters died, but I want to hear more about this world. Like, this is awesome. And then she's like, no, they didn't die at all. I actually had more of a story planned. And they're like, holy shit, tell us more. And then it's like her going into like almost like some Are You Afraid of the Dark shit. She like throws the sparks on the fire and is like, sit down and let me tell you a story. Like, it's kind of and then it gets into the actual movie. But I thought that was really cool. That was awesome. And then everything that starts happening, like, yeah, the story is like I said, the story has a lot of heart. That's the thing that really stood out to me more than anything else. Like, the story of Frankenstein and this particular story has a lot of heart. It's very much so, like, how is Frankenstein interpreting the world around him? What's maybe even just driving him to make some of the decisions that he make? You kind of are watching it all firsthand as he's experiencing it. So in a way, you kind of understand why he makes a lot of decisions that he makes. I didn't expect Bride of Frankenstein to only be in the movie for 3 minutes. I thought she was going to be in the movie more. But I guess for the way the movie was made, it works. Because even in those 3 minutes, a lot happens. But yeah, overall, the movie, I enjoyed it, man. I enjoyed it. 1935, this movie is way older than I am. But I see why people still love it. I see why people still praise it. I had to actually look up how people felt about the movie after I finished it. Because I was like, for Jackie to talk about this movie as much as she did, this must be like highly praised by a lot of people. And it is. It really is. I really enjoyed it. I really, really, really enjoyed it. And I can see why it's beloved. And I love the design for the Bride of Frankenstein. Her look is so fucking cool. Like, from the hair to, like, the wraps around her arms. Like, her look and style is, like, really fucking cool. But, yeah, overall, I really, really, really enjoyed the movie.
I'm so glad. Yay! Like, I'm really happy. Yeah, because, like, the movie is... This is my fourth time watching Bride of Frankenstein. The first time I watched it again... Shout out to TCM. for always doing their horror movie marathon every October. So shout out to TCM, always being the real ones. That was my first introduction to Bride of Frankenstein. No, really, like, they aired it on TV. I watched it and I was just like, this is fucking beautiful. Because I watched clips of it, because I don't know if you guys noticed, but I'm talking to you and our audience. In The Bride of Chucky, they show a snippet of The Bride of Frankenstein in the movie before Tiffany gets turned to a doll.
Oh, really?
And that's kind of what gave inspiration to Bride of Chucky. Yeah.
That makes sense.
And so ever since then, I was like, oh my God, I need to know what this is. Because I've always known about Frankenstein. Everyone knows about Frankenstein. Yeah. I wasn't fully aware about Bride of Frankenstein. Like, we've seen images of her in pop culture, you know, of like her, like, you know, oh, he has a bride or whatever, but I've never seen the original, you know, film about it, story about it. And then I watched it on TCM. Immediate in love with it. I cried watching it the first time. And each time when I watch Bride of Frankenstein, I still get a little like emotional teary eye because it's such a sad movie. Yeah. It's so sad. And Mary Shelley, because like, amazing that she's a woman. I mean, this book was written, the original Frankenstein was written in 1818. And I believe The Bride of Frankenstein is in Frankenstein, the book. And I believe in the novel. Yes, they were planning on creating. Dr. Frankenstein was interested in creating a bride for him. I believe Dr. Pretorius didn't really exist in the book. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I think he was. I think he was only for the film. And so in the book, he didn't even allow Dr. Frankenstein to finish creating the bride. Whereas in the movie, they created her. She's finalized, whatever. But in the novel, he was so distraught with how he was made, because the whole entire novel, he is not okay being in terms that he is of the undead, because he doesn't understand humanity. Humanity is nothing but vicious and cruel.
It's about the creature, right?
And so he doesn't, and he doesn't want that life. He's just like, no, we belong dead. We belong dead. No, stop. And he stops the creation from ever being complete and destroys it before he can ever finish her. When they took that and adapted that to this for this movie, because for those who may not know, Mary Shelley is a very proud feminist and activist for feminism. And again, 1818 people, like back in the day, you know how strict it was for women back in the freaking 18th century.
Yeah.
You know, like it was just like, what? She was very proud of that. And you can kind of tell that in this film, because in the end, yes, we don't see the bride often. But what I love is that they're trying to, and we see this in Hollywood, they're all generations. And I like when James Whale took control of this story, because he tried to show society through the bride, where they're forcing this romance. They're forcing a romance between the bride and the creature. Something that she doesn't even want, because she's just like, what the hell is this? I don't want that. I don't want this. And instead of being a cliche of like, oh, we're in love, I found my bride. No, Frankenstein takes it in his own hands, where he was just like, this is wrong. She does not want this. I don't want it if she don't want it. I'm going to respect that, so I'm just going to kill us both. And that's it, and be done with it. And again, we see this in Hollywood all the time when there's a forced romance. I mean, we kind of talked about it with Black Sunday when I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, you met the girl for one day and you're just like, oh, I love you. Like, what?
Every time. Every story really does not need romance. But for some reason, that's the formula.
Exactly. And for this, you know, in the background, we already had a working romance. Dr. Frankenstein and his fiancée.
Yeah.
And that was in the first movie. And that's also in the novel, too. He was always planning on getting married to this woman. So that was fine. But the fact that they were trying to force it upon the creature, and he was just like, nah, fam. I'm with this. Nah. But yeah, and again, like, this film opened up so many doors for so many adaptions of The Bride. And she's been adapted in many, many times and many variations. I mean, I would say my favorite version of both for The Creature and The Bride of Frankenstein is in Penny Dreadful. Because what they did with those two in Penny Dreadful was just fucking amazing. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, I had to finish that show.
So
I was only at the kind of like the beginnings of like them getting into the creature. I didn't finish season one yet. It's one of the shows I need to go back to.
Okay. Well, this is for our listeners and for you. In September, they're taking it off Netflix. So you have not finished Penny Dreadful.
Oh,
finish
dear Lord.
It now. Because they're taking it off in September. Yeah, they're taking it off in September. So, yeah. That's a head up. That's a heads up for you guys.
Lord. Now the clock is ticking.
But yeah, like you said with the theme having so much heart, like, yeah, again, because you're seeing it in the eyes of both Dr. Frankenstein and his morals, you know, of what he's doing, what he should do. And then you're also seeing it in the eyes of his creation.
Yeah.
You know, he's trying to learn about life. He's trying to learn about humanity, that no one's really giving him a chance because, you know, he's tied to this whole, like, oh, he did this, he did that. But it's just like, but it's not his fault. He has no idea what the hell he's doing. He's trying to learn. And Dr. Frankenstein was so fixated on creating life, which is the biggest taboo, that you shouldn't be doing that. That's not your place to do. That he didn't really bother to really teach Frank, like the creature, about living. What is it to live? And he learned that from a blind hermit who didn't even know what he looked like. But they bonded over that.
That scene nearly got me teary-eyed a little bit with him and the hermit, because it was like really nice. It was like super nice, like the way he was playing music, and it kind of caught the creature's ear, and then they kind of end up hanging out for it seems like a few days. I was like, oh, that was really cool. And I was like, oh man, like after watching him go through all his shit, even though he was like straight up duffing people and knocking them every which way, it was kind of nice to see the creature have a moment of like peace, a moment of like, oh, like somebody could be nice to me. That was pretty nice. That was really, really nice. I liked that a lot.
I know, and it was so sad too when those poacher men came in. It was like, excuse me, sir, do you not see what this thing is? And he's like, oh, he's blind. And you know, freaking the creature is fighting them in his little cottage, and the blind guy is just like, leave my friend alone! Don't touch my friend! And it was really sad when they took him away. And you just hear the blind guy saying, like, don't hurt my friend, don't hurt my friend. And you just see the creature being like, friend? Where's friend? Because he was left alone. You just feel so bad for him. Because you're just like, yo, this thing cannot catch a break, yo. Like, this world did not want him in it. He didn't want to be in it. You know, and it's just like, damn, fucking Dr. Frankenstein, you're a dick, man.
But even in that scene, I felt bad for the blind guy too, because even prior to that, like when they first, you know, the first introduction when the creature hears him playing music, and then he comes in and he's like kind like creature was kind of going to run away, and the blind guy was like, no, wait, like I've been alone for so long, like I haven't had anyone around at all, not even just to hear my music, but for anything, like I've just been alone, and then they kind of just like start bonding in, like, damn, this blind guy needed friendship just as much as the creature did. And you know what, if you look at the time period, you can tell why, because you know, when you read a lot of textbooks and stuff like that about, or even novels about like those, that kind of time period, you usually find a lot of time people who were disabled or any sort like that at those time periods, they were either killed or just kind of left to their own devices, like nobody really cared for them. So it's kind of ironic that when he's alone there by himself playing music, nobody gives a fuck. But the moment that the creature appeared, they're like, we need to save this old man and get him away from the creature. Like, fuck out of here. What are you going to do? You going to take him away from the creature and then put him back in another fucking cabin by himself? Like, now he's going to be sad because he's missing his friend who you guys just forced to leave. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
No, yeah, for real. Exactly what it is. And again, that whole scene was just so fucking sad and depressing. Like, bro, what is he doing? What is you doing, you know?
That's what some people said in some articles, but, that they said it kind of, that scene can kind of be interpreted as like some homoerotic stuff, but I'm like, I think it was literally just friendship. Like, I don't think it was any like sexual tension of any sort. I think it was just genuine friendship of like someone actually tolerating your existence.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why they say that is because James Whale was an openly gay director and writer at the time. So everyone knew his lifestyle. And yeah, I read that before as well many times about the film and how he puts those anatomes with the hermit and also with Dr. Preturus, you know, as well, with his whole fixation on Dr. Frankenstein himself and having to like, no, you have to work on this with me. You have to work with this with me. And it's just like, bro, relax.
Yeah, bro, please chill.
I kind of want to highlight a funny moment, because I'm sure you noticed it too, that when they first take the creature in jail and he breaks out, how did these two cops walking in front of him did not fucking hear this creature groan and moan and break the cell down? How are you walking nonchalantly like, hey man, how was your day? Oh, I'm good, Carl. How's the family? Oh, I'm good. And then bam, bam, knocks them out. Like, how did you not hear that? He's right behind you screaming and yelling and breaking the bars down. How is no one running out like, the creature, the creature? Like, you just now realized that after he hits you?
Yeah, they didn't think that.
Like, the hell are you doing?
They didn't think that through. They thought just strapping him to a slab of wood like he was Jesus was going to be enough to hold him down. I'm like, you literally just had this fucking creature on top of a building that you basically set on fire and destroyed, hoping that it would kill this creature. And it did not. And somehow you think some wood is going to hold it at bay. Are you serious?
Yeah, and it's just so funny. Because, like, how did you not hear that? How were you just walking around just, like, asking your buddy, like, hey, how's your wife? Oh, she's good. And not notice there's a giant ass, like, 6-foot creature behind you being like, argh. Like, how did you not hear that? Like, that shit had me dying. I was just like, yo, these people are silly. What the fuck? Like, how did you not hear that?
I guess people were just dumb at that time. I don't even know what to do with it. I don't even know what to do with that. People were just insane. Honestly, after a while, I was hoping they just left the creature alone. I was like, clearly, every time you try to fight it, it beats your ass. You might as well just leave it alone.
Yeah. Like, ugh. God, it was just like, bro, leave him alone, okay? Like, leave the creature alone. But yeah, and the other interesting thing is that because the original, the first Frankenstein, it was very successful in the box office. And so because of the success, they were just like, this is getting a sequel. So The Bride of Frankenstein would not have happened if it flopped. But again, it's Boris Karloff. When you have Boris Karloff, or even like Bela Lugosi attached to any movie, and also Universal monster movie, you're gonna get a shitload of sequels. And because the first film was so successful, it granted like, you know, a sequel.
Yeah, it deserved one, honestly. Especially since I know people say that this is one of the few cases or rare cases where the sequel is better than the original. I noticed that was a really common thought that a lot of people had. They were like, this is one of the best sequels ever made, and definitely probably one of the first sequels that were better than the original film. You know, it's always hard to follow up on a film that people love, especially something like critically acclaimed that everyone kind of beloves.
So in the book, because I have a note here that from Mary Shelley's book again, because Bride is part of the big Frankenstein story. So in the book, it was the creature who kind of forced Dr. Frankenstein to create a female counterpart for him. And he told him, he basically said, make her as deformed and horrible as me. We can live together. So that way he won't be so lonely. But then again, like before he creates it, he realizes that this is not what he wants. Mm-hmm. Basically destroys it.
Damn, that's a...
Yeah, whereas... Yeah. Yeah, whereas in the movie... It was Dr. Petrulis. Again, he was added for the film to be like, hey, let's make a female Frankenstein. You in? It's just like...
Well, that doctor was clearly crazy than a motherfucker.
That's how he came up.
He was clearly crazy than a motherfucker.
Yeah!
Like, I'll give Dr. Frankenstein some credit after getting his ass beat in the first movie and getting tossed off a fucking building. He realized he needed to sit down. Like... Him and his wife was like, you need to chill. And he was like, you know what, honey? You were correct. I nearly died. I need to just take a break from all this shit. This shit is insane. which is the proper response to something like that. I couldn't imagine how it would have worked had they not introduced the other doctor and just Dr. Frankenstein was like, you know what? I know I nearly died, but let's do it again. Everyone would have been like, how the fuck? Why? Why? Like, these creatures are clearly stronger than you. They one nearly killed you. Like, why would you just hop up and do this again? So I guess he needed that little push. And it was pretty interesting. And I'm not sure if I recall... Petrulis, I think he was his mentor? That's what I think he was?
No.
Oh, okay. They kind of made it seem like he was mentor or something, because he was, like, much older. Or, like, they might have known each other in the past or something.
No. He came across him because he... Because, again, the talk of Dr. Frankenstein creating life spread throughout the whole entire town and beyond. That whole thing was just like, oh, I cannot believe he did this. Like, I can't, blah, 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 blah. Like, oh, you know, because again, like, at the time, it was an abomination
to
create life from the dead, you know, because even in the first film, which sometimes when you watch Frankenstein on TV or whatever, they omit the line. But the original line was where he said, after he creates life, he's just like, oh, it's alive. Now I know what it's like to be God and how to feel like God. And that line is always omitted from the movies when they give it on TV or anywhere else, because it was just like, oh, I can't believe he said that. And that is what drove Pretorius to find him. Because when that news spread, and Pretorius was already a doctor doing experiments on his own right, because he showed him all those miniature people
making.
Like, he made a bishop, he made a mermaid, he made a queen, a king, all these other shit. And so that's when he told him, he was just like, would you ever do it again? And maybe we should make a female this time, just to see, you know, how we take it. And of course, again, like, yeah, Dr. Frankenstein was just like, I don't know, fam. I don't know. I got scratches.
My ass beat.
My wife thought I was dead. Yup, like, I don't know. But then, you know, he kept enticing him, like, no, come on, let's do it. And we've seen this in other Universal movies too, like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Like, once, and even, you know, like in other films, like, once you're a mad scientist, that madness doesn't go away. Like, you can try your best to be normal and confined, but that whole curiosity of experimentation, it's always gonna be there, and it's always gonna overpower you, which is interesting in that sense.
Like, you can't hide from your true self.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. That seems like that's what they would be getting at. Because for as much as Dr. Frankenstein was forced into this because his wife was kidnapped, when he was definitely in the throes of it, he seemed like he was kind of like back on a good foot. Like, oh, this shit is so lit. He was just like, I need this, and then we can do it properly. It didn't seem like he was, like, after a while, it didn't seem like he was doing it out of desperation just for his wife. It seemed like after a while, he was kind of reveling in it, kind of like loving it. So that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And it was just like, it was just crazy. And the thing with James Whale is, so from the first movie in this one, I read an article that says that how, like, you know, these films basically serve as a criticism of organized religion and a parallel of the sorry Christian. Sorry, you know, basically how they are. And, or I mean, the stormy Christian, like the whole Christianity. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, you can see it. Every time they talk about life, even when his fiance was talking to him, like, his fiance was just like, you shouldn't be making that. You know it's wrong. Like, that's blasphemy. I can't believe you even did that. I can't believe you're considering doing it again. And it does kind of highlight that as well. And again, Mary Shelley was a fucking genius writing these books because it really challenged that as well.
It sounds like it was mental. So I don't, like, the whole thing, and she even says it at the beginning when she's talking to her friends, like, before technically the actual film starts with the creature. She actually says it to her friend. She says the first story is supposed to be a moral lesson about man trying to play God and why that's not good. Like, she said it. So I don't get why anyone would be like, oh, this is against organized religion. Like that's surprising. Like, it's very much so. So it's not a surprise. It should be exactly what it is. Because in a way, you could kind of argue, and it's like, it's not picking a religion. It's just more so saying there's certain things men just shouldn't do. Like, it's not trying to tell you that Christianity is better than any other religion or anything like that. It's more so just generally saying, like, men shouldn't try certain things, because in a way you could kind of make the argument that God, real or not, there is a reason that the process of life is what it is, right? Like, there's a reason we're born as, like, babies and tiny and learning over time how things work versus being born as a full-grown adult with no understanding of life. It's like handing a kid the power of, like, a god, and but, like, the kid has no idea how to wield the power. Like, Frankenstein probably isn't even sure how powerful he is when he punches somebody. He's just trying to get the person away from them because they're in his face. Like, there's totally an argument there that could be made for that, right? Like you said it, and that's the whole point of Frankenstein. They make a creature that is a full grown fucking adult, but has no understanding of life, humanity, or anything. The creature is literally learning all of that shit on the fly, but has the power to actually destroy. Like that's not good. Yeah, you could totally say that she's trying to make that point for good reason. Like the orders of nature or life or God, however you view it, those are supposed to be the rules for a reason. I think that's what she's really trying to tell you. Those are the rules for a reason.
Yeah, and you could definitely see that. And especially at the ending.
Yeah.
You know, when she rejects him and then he realizes like this is not how it's supposed to be. This isn't right. And then he kills both him and Dr. Petrovis at the end because he's just like, I'm gonna end the cycle. Because obviously, again, like Victor Frankenstein did not want to do it.
Yeah,
he would just coerce into doing it because of curiosity, and then, you know, basically like, hey, we got your fiance, now you have to do it, otherwise we're gonna kill her. But then once she was set free and the creature was just like, just go live. You know, that's when you see like, yeah, this is the karma of that. This is the karma of trying to create life the way you feel is good. Because I mean, yeah, like in a way, like the Dr. Frankenstein, Dr. Petrovis are both have selfish mindset.
Yeah.
You know, they have a selfish mindset about that. We're like, I want to create life to show the world that I can do this. Okay, cool. Yeah, you went beyond the means of science.
Yeah.
That even other scientists are just like, holy shit, I cannot believe you did this. What? But then you forget the fact that because you created life, you have to teach them and nurture them. Otherwise, yeah, they're going to be destructive. And, you know, it's like in Edward Scissorhands. You know, when they created Edward Scissorhands, he's a creation as well. You know, Vincent Price, rest in peace. You know, his character was teaching him. He was teaching him nursery rhymes, teaching him poetry, teaching him all this stuff about what's right, what's wrong, what's this, what's that, what's from A through Z, what's 1 through 10, what's the colors, what's the shapes, because you have to do that, otherwise they're just going to be like, you know, they're going to feel like you made them for the purpose, so what's my purpose? Is it to destroy, or is it to learn? Yeah. And unfortunately for Frankenstein, he learned the hard way in the first, I mean, not Frankenstein, the creature, the first one, I guess I'm only meant to be, to destroy and be destroyed. And that's really sad.
Yeah, word. That's like terrible that's what the creature had to take from it purely because it was never taught any other better way. It was just created as basically a shining trophy achievement, but like discarded after that. It's like, we did it.
At what cost?
Yeah, we did it. I ain't gonna worry about what happens now, but we did it. So, and the same with the bride, kind of like the bride was kind of, she was created with a purpose, but it was a purpose outside of anything involving her actual opinion, which I think is the reason why some people say that this film does have like a natural criticism of like patriarchy and stuff like that. I think for that reason, because she was only created to be his bride, like so much so that they didn't even give it a name. Granted, they didn't give the creature a name either. Remember all these years, people always thought that the creature was called Frankenstein. So the creature was never truly given a name either. But even more so with her, she was named after what she was going to be to someone else. She wasn't named based on what her possible purpose can be if she chose to, for whatever she chose to. It was just like, here's your use, this is why we made you. And it was kind of as simple as that. So I could see why people make the patriarchy criticism as well. This movie has a lot packed in it. Definitely does.
Yeah, and it really does. And going back to the whole, like, the fact that Mary Shelley was a proud feminist woman, her reasoning, because again, like, according to my research, it has said that throughout all the different adaptations of Frankenstein we've seen in film, and again, we've seen many adaptations of Frankenstein, Frankenstein, you know, Doctor and the creature, and throughout history, none of them ever come close to original text. Like, none. Again, when James Whale took control of this movie, which he originally didn't want to, he was just like, I don't want to do it. But then he finally agreed to doing the film. he really wanted to put a little bit of Mary Shelley's sprinkle into it with The Bride and with like what he was trying to say with the film. Because in the original film, and this is a quote from an article mm-hmm. I read, and it says, Frankenstein is a visionary novel dramatization. Among many other things, a feminist writer's anxiety over scientific man's desire to abandon womankind and find a new method of procreation that does not involve the female principle, ergo the Bride of Frankenstein,
yeah.
the creation of her. Whereas again, like in a novel, the creature did not let him finish the process. He destroyed it right away. Whereas here, they finished it, but then again, the creature was like, this is not how I wanted it to go, so I'm just destroying this. So, and you see that. You definitely see that with this and the whole process of the film where Dr. Frankenstein is all fixated on creating life.
Yeah, for sure. And that article kind of says it perfectly, like about the idea of like some men trying to use science to kind of replace women, you can kind of say. And I would say replace them because mm-hmm. in that time period and even now in some ways, there's some people who believe that women are, you know, mainly good for like reproduction. Which is why, like, people used to have such big families and stuff like that. So those people who believe that's, like, the main value or use that women bring to the table, it would make sense that you could see why the film would say, hey, these guys using science the way they're using it in a way gives them the, you know, invaluable ability that women have to actually be able to produce life, but without having to use a woman. It makes perfect sense. And when you look at how they use the bride, same thing. Like, it's like, hey, here's your purpose. Hey, fuck what you need. Fuck what you want. Here's your purpose. And if we could find a way to replace that purpose, then we probably wouldn't need you. And the film definitely kind of hints at that. And I think, to tell you the truth, I think the director, James Whale, I think him being, like, openly gay, as people have said, is probably the only reason why we even got some of those things in here. Because, considering the time period, like, we see how hard it is to make certain movies now, but considering the time period, 1935, and considering the way this film is done in a lot of ways, I don't think a guy who didn't respect women could make a film like this. Like, the movie, the novel was written by a woman, yeah. which means the story was written by a woman. Like, the ideas in it, the moral lessons, the moral takeaways, the moral dilemmas, like, all of that stuff was written by women who pictured all of this. And as I said, the beginning of the film highlights this when they're talking to Mary Shelley, and they're like, how could such an innocent, like, being come up with such a monstrous creation, like, a crazy idea like this in a film, and like, a story? Like, that's insane. Like, even in their, like, their compliment, there's a bit of a disbelief that a woman can imagine such a wondrous and crazy world. So, and I think it only, like, considering that this movie clearly isn't directed by a woman, it's directed by a guy, hence, also, it's a gay guy, but it's still hinted by a man, so I feel like there was definitely a certain level of respect and a certain level of complexity that was able to be, like, presented.
And understanding.
Yeah, and understanding that was able to be presented from someone who I think was, like, despite being a man, had at least enough respect and understanding of, like, not just the text, but the person making the text and the messages of the text. Because without that, I think the film wouldn't have heart. Like, it probably wouldn't. It would just be like all the other Frankensteins that we get a lot of the time. As you mentioned, you said, like, this is the only one that really sticks to the original text. So, because outside of this, what Frankenstein do we get? We kind of get like a dumbfounded child, basically, that doesn't. You rarely has a movie fully about, like, its understanding. It's more so just like Frankenstein is usually a side character within a bigger monster experience, like, hence Monster Squad and a bunch of other movies where it's kind of like that, right? Like, Frankenstein is kind of like an add-on. Frankenstein isn't usually the star. So, because if he's a star, then you kind of have to get into this humanity kind of approach with the character. And they haven't done this since the original text and since this film. So, yeah, I totally get it. I don't think we probably would have got this without James Well. Because I think if they just would have got a regular dude who probably had the thinking of that time where, like, they viewed women in a particular way, a lot of that complexity probably would have been cut out, and I don't think this movie would have been remembered the same way. Probably the look of Bride of Frankenstein would have been remembered, but I don't think the movie as a whole would have been remembered the way it is now. But, yeah, what do you think? Do you think I'm jumping the shark here, or you agree?
yeah, I would say so. Because, again, like, even these adaptions, like, they're not close to the text as well. They have snippets of it, they're not exactly close to it. But again, that's common when anything's being adapted from a book. We've seen that throughout all the years. But the fact that, you know, again, that excerpt about, you know, the feminism and the anxieties of scientific men doing this. And then, of course, James Whale. Yeah, I could only understand that for him doing this because, again, like, yeah, at the time, nowadays, people are now more comfortable being open with who and what they are. Back then, you had to be very quiet about it. Otherwise, you're getting blacklisted. You're never going to work ever again. So I can imagine all the shit he had to, like, go across. But granted, again, he's a man, a white man, a successful writer and director, so I'm sure he didn't really get too much shit thrown at him, you know what I mean? But, yeah, I could definitely see that how he was able to understand and put a lot of remnants of what she wrote in the book and what she was trying to do with this, because, again, like, I'm glad he did that with the ending, you know? She did not want him. She didn't want to be involved in this forced romance because she was like, what the fuck is this? You know, she's screaming and crying, like, what is this? And it's funny because, like, she runs back to Dr. Frankenstein, who created her. Like, protect me from this creature. Who is this? What is this? And even, you know, Dr. Petrillo is trying to control, you know, the creature, like, give her space, give her time. And he's not giving her space and time. He's just like, no, she's my friend. She needs to be with me very aggressively. And she's just like, no, like, I don't want this. And because of that whole interaction, then him trying to hold her hand, and he was still just like, I don't want this. Get away from me. And I like how they put that because, again, it's a reflection on what was common back then. Forced romances. Forced, you know, we had to have this forced heterosexual romance in all these films because this is what people want. This is what people like. And they were just like, we're not going to give you what you want. They're going to die because they hate it. This is what you're going to get. And you just have to deal with it. And as tragic as it is, I understand it.
Yeah, for sure. I'm looking at something like James Wells, like some of the other movies he worked on. And it seems like he's done quite a bit of horror. And I wonder, kind of to go back to something we've said in prior episodes about horror, the genre as a whole. I wonder if, like, you know, him being openly gay was probably more accepted for him to do films in like the horror space, because horror is kind of a, you know, in some ways rejected genre. I wonder if he was given a little bit more free rein and stuff like that, because people probably was like, well, you're a little strange and this space is a little strange, so try something. Like, I'm wondering if that was kind of how he got either attracted to the genre as a whole as well.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think so. Because, again, like, I mean, we talked about it before, that how, yeah, like, horror has that space, and horror, and we say it so many times, I don't know how many times we're going to keep saying it, horror is so much more than horror, you know, horror is a reflection of humanity, horror is a reflection of society, horror is a reflection of human life, you know, horror is everything. No, you may think you're watching a movie just for the guts and blood and chills, but really you're getting a story that's tragic, or a story that's like, holy shit, that's relatable.
Yeah.
And that's why I fucking love this genre so much. And that's why I love this movie in particular. And to jump back about the whole feminism thing that, you know, with Frankenstein, you know, the creature destroying, you know, the bride in the book versus in the movie. Again, Penny Dreadful, their take on the creature and the Bride of Frankenstein, I was just like, chef's kiss. Oh my fucking God. In the original story of Bride of Frankenstein for Penny Dreadful, she is a sex worker who ends up catching TB, tuberculosis. At the time where it was set, there's no cure for that. Is basically the equivalent of the plague. You're gonna die. Dr. Frankenstein creates creature. In the show, I think he does get a name. I forgot what it was. I forgot what it was. And he, the way he describes his life after being created, when he goes back to Dr. Frankenstein, because Dr. Frankenstein in Penny Dreadful creates another being. He creates another man. And the creature, being so pissed off about that, he destroyed, he ripped him in half.
Yeah.
And he was just like, wow, you're really going to forget that you created me? You created me and you just left me to die. I had to learn about life this way. And he dips in the most tragic story. But when he kind of coerced him, similar to Mary Shelley's book, he coerced him like, I need you to make me a bride. I've been alone all this long. I need you to make me a companion. I don't want to be alone anymore. I want to be with someone, internally with someone, so we can live forever while all you guys die and wither away. And he gives him a timeline. Mm-hmm. And he's like, if you don't do it, I'm going to fucking kill you. And of course, he's just like, oh, shit, let me do it. So he meets this woman who's in a relationship with someone else. She ends up dying. And so he takes the corpse by lying to his friend. He's like, yeah, I'm going to check her and her. I'm going to do an autopsy. It's okay. I'll take her. Yeah, he takes her and experiments on her and creates her into the Bride of Frankenstein and gives her a new name, Lily. And that is her name, Penny Dreadful. Her character was so fucking well written that I was just like, I fucking love this bitch. She remembered who she was in her past life. Because when they first introduced her to Creature mm-hmm. and wanted to be his bride, and he was just like, I want to have this life together. I want to do this. I want to do that. She literally looked at him and was just like, poor boy. I do not this. It's sweet that you want a life with me, but I don't want this life because I remember who the hell I was. I remember men who would spit at me, men who would just like hit me, and men who would just use me. And she literally had him. She pushed the Creature down and she had her leg on top of his shoulder. And she was just like, never again will I kneel to any man. Now they shall kneel to me. And she became a feminist icon in Penn and Dreadful, where she was just like, I'm killing all these fucking men. You want to have sex with me? Great. I'm going to slaughter you now. Damn. And I was just like, oh my God, this was so beautiful. Like, yo.
That sounds like a hell of a rewrite.
Really well written. Yes. And the reason why I'm mentioning this, because I don't know if you read, but our favorite Asian actress, Scarlett Johansson, apparently is doing a remake of The Bride of Frankenstein, and she's starring as The Bride of Frankenstein.
Yeah. I don't know how to feel about that.
I don't know how to feel about it. Yeah, neither do I. But she did say that how, like, she is going to change the story around where she's more powerful and more, like, a feminist icon. And I think she's going to drive influence from what they did in Penny Dreadful with The Bride of Frankenstein, which I'm not upset about, because the way Penny Dreadful did The Bride of Frankenstein, I was like, fucking yes, I am for this.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to check that out. That sounds amazing.
Yeah. But I don't know how I feel about Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, same. It's like
I'm so tired of her. Like, she's in everything. Like, pick someone else. Like, yo, I'm fucking tired of her ass. Like, Jesus. Like, pick some other, like, redheaded chick. Like, yeah, come on.
She might have to start taking the Brad Pitt route, where she's just like has a studio or something and kind of green lights movies versus always starring in them.
Yeah. I'm just like, oh, I'm pretty sure someone's going to be like, but you know, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, yeah, okay, again, she's in everything. She's literally in everything. She plays every role, even roles she's not supposed to play. So, again, sorry, but I'm fucking tired of Scarlett Johansson. She's in everything. Jesus, give us someone new and fresh. Someone we haven't seen before.
Quite a few people are, especially outside of Marvel. But it is what it is. It is what it is. You either watch it or don't watch it when it come out. It is what it is.
God, fucking tired.
It's all right. It's all right. At the end of the day, you'll still have this classic that you can revisit and watch whenever you like. So, yeah, not like anybody can take that away from you. So
that is. But before we get out, I do want to say some fun facts.
Let's go for it.
About the film. So fun fact number one, they originally wanted to put Death Race and circus lions in the film, but that was rejected because they were like, this is a little too crazy. I wouldn't know how to feel about that if they kept that.
Yeah, I don't even know what to do with that.
Bela Lugosi was the fourth contender to play Dr. Pretorius, but then it changed and they gave the role to who we have now, which is played by Colin Klein. Boris Karloff did not like the fact that the creature was talking in this film. He did not want it. He wanted to keep the creature still doing the grunts and the moans and whatever. But James Whale persuaded him to be like, it's okay. Let's just do a little dialogue. Let's just, you know, do a little snippets.
They didn't overdo it. He was just like, it's all right. He wasn't full on just talking the whole movie. It was like a few lines here and there near the end, so it's not terrible.
Mm-hmm. And for the hair, since we talked about the bride's hair and the way her she looked, that was her real hair. That was her actual hair. That was
not dope.
A wig.
I was wondering how they did, if that was a wig. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. James Whale and Staff was inspired by Nefertiti and how she had her hair in Egyptian, you know, mm-hmm. book and stuff. And so that's what they kind of got inspiration. So according to Eliza, she said that how they had to lift it from her face all around, place a wire cage around her head, and then combed out the hair so it would cover the cage, and then they would add the white streaks to it. So that is how they did her hair.
That makes sense, because the hair wasn't, like, super flexible. It was almost, like, stuck in place like she was electrocuted. And even mm-hmm. when she was doing, like, her weird tics when she was moving her head mad fast, it was like her hair kind of moved very little. That's why I was like, I guess that's just a wig. But that makes sense that they put, like, a cage to hold it in place.
Mm-hmm. But that was definitely dope. And her screams were inspired by the way swans yell when they're angry, apparently. Like, James Whale, for some reason, was in a park, and he was like, that's it. That's the sound of the bride. We're doing it. And then they gave her the audio. It was like, can you do this? And she was like, I tried.
So she did that herself? Like, that wasn't like a sound they overlaid?
Holy no, that shit. Was her. But that's basically what they did. They were like, so you see how this one sounds? Try to do that for the film. But she was just like, okay.
I swear, I know she was a creature, but imagine if people did that in real life. Like, somebody went to approach somebody, especially a woman. Somebody went to approach a woman, she made that sound. You just run. Like, what the fuck was that? Because it just sounds so, like, jarring. You
It'll
just
be
like,
me.
What the fuck? I'm, you know what? I'm good. You keep it. I'm out.
I'll be me. That'd be me. I'll do that. Come near me. I'm just going to scream at your actress. That's what I'm going to do. You come near me, try to be like, hello. Like, I'm going to do that. I'm going to act mad, freaky, and creepy.
Hilarious.
But yeah. So that's, like, little fun facts. And it's so dope that they did her. I always loved her hair. It was so cool. And again, like, that's kind of what inspired the look for certain Bride of Frankenstein. Even in, what's that kids movie? What is it? The Hotel for Monsters? Hotel Transylvania, Bride of Frankenstein? That's how her hair is, too. Her hair is just like that because of the movie.
I can't remember if the Bride of Frankenstein was in the Monster show.
I think she was, but her hair was down. And I think she was a vampire. I think she was supposed to be a vampire or something. I don't remember, but she was no. I think she was the Bride of Frankenstein, but her hair was down, and she was more like her robe was like more like a vampire in a bat. She was so pretty. She was so pretty. But yes. So, any last words?
Don't go playing God. That's all I got.
Yeah, for real. Don't be like Dr. Frankenstein, son. Not worth it. But yeah, like, I'm so glad you watched it. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm so happy. I'm just like, yay.
Yeah, I'm happy I did too. I feel like this is a big one to check off my list.
And there's many more to come. Ha ha. All right. So with that, I would just say be safe, everybody. And ooh-wee-oo. Ghost goodbye.